looked out the window and over the gate. The big fat rabbits are jumping in the grass. Wait till they hear my old shotgun blast. Shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. The Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail. Tonight you'll be in the pot. Gun boogie. Draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy. He's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shells.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for the Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on the Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, limp wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's Tuesday, the 7th of October. Glad to see you all in there tonight. And things, again, going so fast we can't keep up with everything. So let me start off with a couple of announcements here, and then we'll move on into the most discouraging and awful news that we can find. We've got the personal protection class, or the close protection class, coming up in December, and we want to give everybody plenty of notice of that. I know that most of you are not interested in that kind of thing. You may be interested in it, but it's not a cheap class. This is for people that are into close protection security details, and so if you have any friends or anybody that you know that might be interested in something like that, spread the word for us. And that will be the last week prior to Christmas. And then we also have coming up here this Saturday, the 25th, right here in Vernon, is the Disaster Preparedness Seminar. We'll have another one in Lincoln, California on the 19th, the weekend prior to that. And on the 18th in Lincoln, California, is the Glock Armorers class. So I got quite a bit of stuff going on here between now and Thanksgiving. We're going to be pretty busy. Oh, the 15th is a show in Kingman. The 8th to the 10th is the Survivalist Seminar or Renaissance in Young, Arizona. So I basically have no time left in between here and Thanksgiving. Thank you very much for that. So, all right, let's carry on. You know, a lot of stuff in the news, and you're our Muslim in chief today. Had, from what I understand, three fundraisers to go to while the America is being invaded by ISIS and a number of illegals on the southern border and ravaged by Ebola and enterovirus. Well, Mitch and Barry had to go down and, you know, I saw that they'd spend $6.2 million in vacations just this year. I don't remember all the specifics of that, but something like $40 million, if I remember right, for 6 years worth of vacations, and I that's just absurd. It's just insane to me. I don't understand it. I don't understand why there is zero accountability. Yes, he is the President of the United States. No, he is not supposed to be a dictator to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, with however, whatever amount of money, assigning whatever people he decides to assign to it any time of the day or night or the week or the month or however many times a year. This has got to stop. This is only one of many things that needs to stop. I surely don't understand this. Queso, I want you to find a nice, comfortable chair to sit in, and I want you to unload your gun and set it over out of reach and take all sharp objects away out of the room. I want you to sit down because we're going to talk about racism here a little bit, and I don't want you to hurt yourself when we get there. So just be prepared for that. You've got time right now to make your environment safe, so you can be doing that while I'm talking about these other things. It'll be a little bit, yeah. So, matter of fact, let me see if that one came up. Yeah, that's going to piss me off. That's going to piss me off. This one here, yeah, there we go. Yeah, it'll be just a little bit. Okay, there's... I see where Minnie posted this, in there, or somebody did, posted in the chat room there. Oh, it was Rights at Risk. But this was the second one of these that I've heard of today. Another one is, I don't have the whole story, but another one literally blew herself up to keep from being captured. But this one was a non-Muslim, someone who is fighting in 19 years old, surrounded by ISIS. And she got on the radio, said goodbye, and decided to save her last bullet for herself because she knew what they'd do to her if they got a hold of her. So she, and now this is a tough call. We know that one thing that is unforgivable is the shedding of innocent blood. And suicide being one of the most unforgivable of sins. But in a situation like that, do we have reason to believe, or even the right to believe, that that God would be forgiving of that? We assume that he might, but you know, that there's not generally exceptions or anything to the rules, and you know, sin's a sin, and I don't. The only time that I think that something like that is forgivable is when somebody is mentally challenged and is not sure what they're doing to start with. Now, would this young lady didn't seem to be, of course. Now a lot of it has to do. I'm not saying she's right or wrong. This is her thing. It has to do with her faith, and she did what she thought was best. It's not for us to decide that. But would she have been so so distraught and so for lack of a better word, I'll say blinded by fear and confusion and desperation, that she made a decision that that she might not have made. Well, of course she wouldn't have made it at another time, but she had her thoughts together enough to get on the radio and say goodbye. And we look at it on the one hand and say, you go, girl. That was a very brave thing that you did. On the other hand, from a devout Christian standpoint, it was not the right thing to do. So, but certainly to her at the time, it felt like it was. And like I said, it's not for us to decide right, wrong, or indifferent. But anyway, irregardless of whether it was right or wrong, she was definitely a warrior. She had surrounded there, I don't know how many or if any people were around her, but she got down to her last round and saved it for herself. And that's what I've always said about being in grizzly bear country. I could go and get away from grizzly bear with a single shot from a 25 automatic. All I need to do is shoot you in the knee, and I won't be bothered. So it won't take much to protect me from a grizzly bear there. Okay, let's move on here. Speaking of Muslims and non-Muslims and racist stuff and ISIS and beheadings and all this, there's something here that you didn't hear about in New Jersey, where a Muslim had beheaded two Christians in New Jersey. This was, let's see, beheaded two journalists. Okay, that was on the news, two journalists and an aid worker. Now there's apparently a fourth one now that's coming up here, or threatens to be. And so this was followed up by they called on their supporters in Western countries to carry out attacks and beheading on non-believers as well. So coincidentally, but maybe not so coincidentally, there was a beheading right after that in London, as well as the one in Oklahoma. Now, everybody in America sees the connection here to Islam on most of these. And Obama's constantly saying that the... and this I don't get, along with the vacations and everything else, claims that the Islamic State has absolutely nothing to do with Islam. That's like the Texas Longhorn had absolutely nothing to do with Texas. Or that the Pope has nothing to do with Catholic. Yeah, Amy hollering in here said, Pope has nothing to do with being Catholic. The Catholic Pope has nothing to do with being... I don't get it. I don't understand. I mean, this whole thing is just stupid. And I don't know what in the world, how they expect us to continue to swallow that. But we do. And nothing ever happens. Where is the accountability? Why is there not somebody at some level that, the Congress critters, I know why, because they're afraid they'll lose their job. They're more interested in financial security and power and greed for the rest of their lives, that they're not able to think clearly. But the radical Muslims, as they call them, beheading Christians, of course, not anything new. It's been going on for quite a while. But last year, there was a story in New Jersey about a Muslim that beheaded two Christians. And he was arrested. His name was Yusuf Ibrahim. Ibrahim was arrested after the decapitated bodies of these two Egyptian Christians were found in a shallow grave in a backyard in New Jersey. So these appeared to be, they quote this, ritualistic killing, religious in nature, Police described the killer as ruthless and calculating, said he deserves to be behind bars. Well, I disagree. I think he deserves to be dead. But anyway, he didn't hear on and on in the media. Yeah, there was some little stories here and there about it, but you didn't hear all the stuff that went on in the media like they did the one in Oklahoma. Why? Well, I guess it just wasn't the right time to be spreading that kind of message so that they can get their word out there. So the sound. Oh, okay. Boy, I was hoping I didn't say all that time and nobody heard it. I would hate to go back and do this all over again. Okay, looks like they got it straightened up. All right. The yeah, 007? I mean C7? Maybe I should call you vertebrae. Yeah, I do, in fact, carry an anti-beheading device with me, and as I know that you do, too. So, yeah, everybody should carry an anti-beheading device. Be a good idea. I got into a little discussion today, as I do quite frequently, and we've got this has nothing to do with racism or Muslims or female ISIS fighters or anything like that. We're going to get back to that in a minute, but I want to do this so I can free up this window here. Got into a discussion. I read a Facebook post by a local lady here, and she's talking about the elementary school here would... they're explaining why they can no longer host the ballot booths for the elections. And they've done it there for a lot of years. And they've been the site for all the voting for the community here, I guess, for a long time. But the school, I mean, with all the stuff that's going on, we all know what's been going on for the last few years here. And getting worse the last couple of years. So due to the increase in school shootings and assaults and all that stuff on campuses nationwide at various levels, they've come to the conclusion that for the safety of the students, that since Election Day is on a school day, that the safety of the kids comes first over these traditions. So the first commitment, of course, is to keep the students safe, so they've decided that they're not going to vote, and they're not going to have the voting booths there anymore, and they're going to do that in the library. So there's a little bit more to the story, but that's not part of it. So I got on there, and I said, that makes perfect sense. Hold on here a minute. And so this gal comes on here, and she says one of the silliest things. She says, school shootings and assaults on campuses would never happen in Vernon. Come on, this makes no sense to me. Oh, I just immediately started gritting my teeth, and so I jumped on there like right away, quick, and said it never happens anywhere until it happens there. I gave her a little reminder. I said, the little one-room Amish schoolhouse in Pennsylvania where 10 little girls got shot in 2006, they probably thought the same thing. Come on. There's no assaults and shootings at a little Amish school in a little town in rural Pennsylvania. Come on. No, well, it happened. Wilcox, Arizona, does that sound familiar? Wilcox, Arizona, just a couple of years ago, a little town of only 3,600 people, nothing around it, out in the middle of nowhere. School shooting, March of 2012. I said there hadn't been a school child die in a school fire since 1918. But we have fire drills, fire exits, fire extinguishers, inspections, and most schools are built primarily out of fire-resistant and fireproof material. There's been nearly 20 school shootings just in elementary schools in this country since 1980. And there have been about 60 people killed in those 20 shootings. It's been over 300 people have been killed in all the school shootings during the same time period. And you say it makes no sense to lock the frickin' door? I said, if it were up to me, select school officials would be armed and trained in every school in America. The next best thing is to have armed guards. The least desirable option is to lock the doors, but it's all we can do right now. And I said, like politicians, when they don't have kids in our schools, it's easy to risk everyone else's. So I'm patiently waiting to see if she comes back and has anything. I did a little research on this gal. I looked around through her profile and stuff there, and it appears to me that she has a substantial liberal streak in her. And so I'm quite certain, I'm relatively sure how she comes back, or I'm sure that I know the kind of response that she's going to come back with. But I am prepared. There's nothing she can come back with that I haven't got something to counter with. I so hate to engage in a battle of wits with somebody that's so unarmed. But anyway, I will prevail. I always do. Let's see. What's C7 talking about? A gentleman I invited from Twitter chatting about open carry in Texas, how the economy is booming, and started a discussion on how to open carry in Texas. So to continue on, what legislative action needs to be taken to get the ball rolling on open carry in Texas? Well, it's you just got to get with your legislators and find one or more that is, sees that in a favorable light, that are with you on it, and say, okay, let's get going. Let's sit down and talk about the provisions of this, and let's try to get it started. If there's going to be too much resistance and it seems fruitless or impossible, then let them, this is the whole eating an elephant thing there. You can't get everything you want. We did the same thing in New Mexico. We had several changes to the concealed carry law when it was passed until we got one that's fairly reasonable. It wasn't all that great in the beginning, but it got better. So if open carry freely the way we do here in free Arizona is unreasonable and or unlikely to them, or both, then do it with the a certain amount of restrictions, with a carry permit perhaps, like Utah does, like several states do. And then next time legislature goes in session, well, let's work on trimming away some of the restrictions and get it where it'll fly. But sometimes, many times, you just can't get everything that you want in one fell swoop. Sometimes it takes a little bit of effort. So we'll we'll just have to do the best we can with what we got. And I tell you, Texas is a whole lot better than it was when I was living there. There was no possibility of carrying concealed anywhere. There was no possibility of carrying on school grounds. And there actually is a couple of jurisdictions, I think, now in Texas that have allowed their teachers to or certain members of the faculty in any way, whatever, that are carrying at school. So that's not a bad thing. Okay. Well, give me a minute there.
Sevenies, but I like my music, I like my women. We'll put a boot in your ass. It's the American way. American girls and American guys, we'll touch your ass.
You listen to me.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Tune in to The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds at 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern on Just Measures Radio. Don't miss it.
Join Cope for 2 full hours of political incorrectness, current events, gun talk, and so much more.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
And we're back. Now, we've got a got a couple of things here. I told you, Queso, you better hold on to your shorts here. A couple of things on this racism thing. You know, there's been several things down through the years that I've been doing this that I have to scratch my head and say, how do these people live with themselves? How are you not so humiliated and ashamed of what you say to even let your face show in public? And I've said that about lawsuits sometime. How in the world can you, with a straight face and go through with it, sue a restaurant because you're too stupid to keep your coffee upright and spilled it in your lap? Did you not want hot coffee? Should they just serve iced coffee and coffee and let you take it home and warm it up in the microwave when you get there? Don't most people that drink coffee, when I used to drink coffee, hot coffee was a good thing. When I ordered a cup, I actually expected it to be that way. And, you know, there's probably been a time or two, whether it was hot coffee or cold iced tea or a Coke or whatever the case may be, a box of popcorn. There's been a couple of times that I have been less than cautious and I've spilled it in the seat of my truck. I spilled it in my lap. I've spilled it on the couch. And you know who I blamed? I got up and looked in the mirror and said, "You idiot. Didn't you hold on to something?" Did it ever cross my mind one time for 1 second that I should go sue the store that sold me the popcorn? or the soup or the iced tea or the coffee or whatever. It's unbelievable. If I were going to do that, I'll tell you when it would have been a great time for me to do that. And that was when I was working down in Southeast Texas. And I went in, as I so frequently did. I was running around between four or five different jobs, had crews on several different areas around there, and I was just always on the run, just shagging between one job and another. And I never took the time to eat properly. I stopped day after day and would grab different places around Southeast Texas, and I'd grab two of those packaged sandwiches, that's cut diagonally. I'd grab a couple of chicken salad or tuna salad sandwiches, a carton of milk, and a bag of regular Fritos and a little package of donuts or something, day after day. And jump back in the truck and off I'd go, off to save the world to the next job. And one day, I would, and of course I'd cram those sandwiches down just as quick as I could so I could be all done by the time I get to the job. And so one day I inhaled a couple of sandwiches and opened my carton of milk and took a big old slug and blah! And I spit it all over the windshield and down the defroster and all in the everywhere. I had inadvertently picked up a carton of buttermilk. How in the hell do people drink buttermilk? That was the most disgusting thing I've ever had in my mouth. And so what I should have done at that point was turned around and went back to the store and got the manager's name and everything. And I should have taken that to my lawyer and said, look, these people should have packaged this. They should have had signs there that clearly labeled, let me know which was which, what was what, so I wouldn't grab buttermilk. And so I missed my chance. I should have, C7, I know they're $4 now. They used to be, when I was buying them then, they were like $1.19. But anyway, I missed my chance to sue at that point. But here we go with a... this is the Steelers coach here. This guy, he's black, and he is, an idiot. This coach, this Mike Tomlin, is complaining about people calling him a player's coach. Now, until I read this story, I would have never in a million years, you could not have convinced me if you said it, I wouldn't know what you're talking about. That's the stupidest thing in the world. He says this term is, he says if you call him that you're a racist. This is something that not a whole lot of coaches have the privilege of being called as a player's coach. This is a tremendous compliment, not all that common. And these are the coaches that have a unusual amount of loyalty from their players. But this guy says, after this reporter talked to him and asked if the term kind of shifted. And the coach said, first said it didn't bother him. Then he said it's racist anyway, but it doesn't bother me. So he's willing to accept the fact that it's racist and you shouldn't call him that, but he's okay with that because he just kind of lets it run off his back there. Now, I think what I've gotten out of this, there's a little more to the story. We'll get to it in a second. But what I've got out of this, there's... there is a gentleman's gentleman. There's a I don't know if he's talking about, you know, being an Uncle Tom or what. I have no idea where in the hell he dug this up. I have no clue. This is just so stupid. I can't, I don't have the mental capacity to comprehend this. But, he said, let me find it here again. He said, you know, it doesn't bother me, because I don't worry too much about what people define me as. You know, but at the same time, it's something I get tired of addressing or answering over the last 8 years, because invariably, you know, I think it means something about my age and my race. You know, I've been doing this job for 8 years, and I think anybody that I work with will tell you that I mean business, and there's no blurred lines in terms of relationships that I have with guys, in terms of their roles and my roles. I think sometimes it's somewhat insulting, to be honest with you, because they call him a player's coach. Would that not seem to you that this was a good thing?
Player's coach, that's a compliment.
Well, he don't think so. So there's a blogger here that says, racist, really? Now, a long time compliment is considered an insult, an ageist to boot. That was that crossword puzzle clue right there we had the other day. Remember? I got it, by the way. How do you get racist out of that? I am totally at a loss here. You guys sort that out. And you sort that out and let me know, okay? So while we're talking about racist here, hang on just a minute. I gotta kiss my blonde. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how about dress codes? A little bar in Minneapolis said their dress code is racist. They say you might as well just say no black folks allowed. That's what a local lady there, Michelle Horowitz, said. It's ridiculous. How can a dress code be racist? But she runs something called Appetite for Challenge for Change, which is an organization that promotes dedication to racial, economic, and social justice. Well, the policy is posted in a place called Bar Louie in Minneapolis, and they have banned a number of things that people wear because they don't want them in their bar. And one of those things is flat bill hats. Now that one's a little stretch, I guess, but it's their bar. I guess they can do whatever they want. Large chains, long plain white T-shirts, and excessively baggy clothing. That's large chains worn around the outside of the shirt. No athletic apparel, no sports jerseys unless collared. Okay, what they're trying to say here is dress nice, look respectable, and you're welcome to come in. But some of the people said that this policy effectively targets black people. If you don't want African Americans to frequent your establishment, then maybe you should say that and not break it down to a dress code. That's what somebody on the side there told the TV station. But most of the commenters on this TV station's website completely disagreed, as they should, saying that it was more about conduct than race. Now, wouldn't you say that you have someone come in with a flat-billed hat, a sleeveless undershirt, a tank top, wife beater, baggy breeches down around your hiney crack, and a big chain hanging around on the outside of your wife beater and all that. So the flat billed hat, that could certainly be Hispanic and Mexican. Lots of that stuff going on down in Phoenix and Albuquerque. sleeveless undershirts. Now, that could be, I probably see more white trash with that than other ones. Of course, others wear it too, but it's definitely not exclusive to blacks. Baggy clothes, that's the whole gamut. That's everything. That's everybody. But these are typical of gangbangers, punks, thugs, wannabes. Doesn't matter what color they are. It's just people that they do not want in their establishment, and I don't blame them. Now, how could anyone come up with the dress code as being racist and targeting blacks? Lots of other people dress like that. So, in this gal here went on to say, Minnesota might be the nicest, healthiest, cleanest state in America, and it might not be, but we have huge issues as far as segregation, racism, and systematic oppression, and people want to look the other way. This is not okay, and we're not going to patronize you if you don't change your policy. Okay, honey, sugar plum, let me tell you, we won't be seeing you in there because we're not changing our policy, and we don't want you in here either. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. How about that? Unbelievable. But hey, right about the time I said white trash, there comes BB Burner in the chat room. How about that? What you doing there, buddy? I try to make light of this, but I really don't understand it. I really can't grasp this whole thing at all. No savvy. Don't get it. Okay. Well, I told you last night that we're going to work on a new format a little bit. I'm going to cut myself a little bit more breathing room. And in order to do that, I need to slip in a song from time to time, probably somewhere between 2 and 4 songs throughout the duration of the show. And hang on a minute. Oh, goodness, that was close. So we're going to, if I can remember, of course, I have to remember to do it, too. That's the hard part. Okay, so what should we do here? How about this one here? I like this song. This'll do. It's like that movie. That'll do, pig. Coming right up here. All right, you ready? Here it goes. Come on. There we go. All right. I'll be back as soon as I get back.
Put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone. Let's pretend that we're together. Turn the jukebox way down low, and you can tell your friend there with you, you'll have to go. Whisper to me, tell me, do you love me true? Or is he your mind? I've got to know. Should I hang up or will you tell him he'll have to go? You can't say the words I want to hear while you're with another man. Do you want me answer yes or no? Darling, will understand. Put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone. Let's pretend that we're together all alone. I'll tell the man to turn the jukebox way down low. And you can tell your friend there with you, you'll have to go.
You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Join me in the Tinker's Shop Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
Join us every Sunday for the Medic Shack.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
With your host, Chuck Hudson.
You know what the chain of command is? It's the chain I go get and beat you with till you understand who's in rotten command.
Cat Ellis.
You're having far too much fun at my expense.
And our producer, Jacob Hudson.
Who is this genius?
Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measure Radio Network.
Breaking tonight is Barack Obama's presidency imploding. Al-Qaeda is resurging, Iraq is disintegrating, and now we may look to Iran to help us stop it. Iran, a terrorist regime responsible for the deaths of thousands of Americans. What could possibly go wrong? We have drawn red lines in Syria we refuse to enforce. We stood by as Russia seized part of Ukraine. And now we are releasing top Taliban leaders as the Afghanistan war is still going. Not to worry, they tell us Qatar's going to watch him for a year, we hope. Domestically, we have a president who has lost the trust of the American people by repeatedly misleading them. He bypasses Congress, the people's representatives, on matters ranging from Obamacare to immigration law, to the point where one of the most respected liberal law professors in the country has called our president the very danger the Constitution was designed to avoid. The American public overwhelmingly regrets Obamacare. Our veterans are dying, waiting to see doctors. The IRS intimidates conservative groups. The southern border is compared to a sieve. And the president assures us not to worry, smiling, golfing, and at this very moment, partying with fashion queen Anna Wintour. Because the fundraising never stops. Not when four Americans die in Benghazi, and not when Baghdad is at the brink.
Good morning, beautiful. How was your night? Mine was wonderful with you by my side. And when I open my eyes and see your sweet face, it's a good morning, beautiful day. I couldn't see the light. Didn't know day from night. I had no reason to care. Since you came along, I can face the dawn. 'Cause I know you'll be there. Good morning, beautiful. How was your night?
gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
All right, we're back. We got a couple of very disappointing jackbooted thug stories here. Here in Georgia, East Dublin, that's not too far from Atlanta, there was brand new story, 2 days old. Husband, father, grandfather, was murdered by incompetent militarized police again, for no reason. The attorney for the widow here, I got several pictures of this guy in another story, in another article, not this one, but, and the guy looked like, of course you can't tell just by looking at somebody, but he looked like somebody you see standing, at the barber shop, just fizzed. It looked like a really, just the look in his eyes and his facial features, just a really pleasant guy to be around. But what had happened here, acting on an anonymous tip about meth from a car thief. The car thief stole this guy's Lincoln Aviator to begin with. Sheriff's office got a search warrant for the residence of the guy that got his Lincoln Aviator stolen. Hour after the judge signed the warrant, police raided the house, murdered the grandfather. 11 o'clock at night. This was in September. The story is just 2 days old, so it took a little while to get out, I guess. But 24th of September, deputies barged into the house unannounced into this guy. Now, why didn't they just... Let me get to that in a minute. Sheriff's office claimed that the guy was shot after he got out a firearm and started showing aggression. There's no evidence that the grandpa ever got a shot off. After a search taking a full 44 hours, they spent 2 days going through this house, conducted by a bunch of different agents of GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. Nothing was found, not one single item of contraband. I'll bet you that there's not many homes in this country where there is not one single item of contraband. It may be a souvenir of some kind. It may be an arrowhead, a piece of pottery, an artifact of some kind, which is illegal for you to have. Any number of things that it might be in any house in the country. But they didn't find a single thing. So this criminal, this bad guy who had told investigators that he took a plastic bag from he stole the truck, took a plastic bag from it, said he thought there was money in it and a set of digital scales. believing there was money in the bag, and he took some digital scales. So, according to this TV station, they got a copy of the search warrant. The guy then stole another vehicle he stole one truck and got this plastic bag and stuff out of it. Then he stole another vehicle from the same house, from Grandpa's house, the Lincoln, and he drove it to Dublin, Georgia, and realized that the bag contained meth instead of cash. So they told officers that he'd become scared for his safety and turned himself in to the deputies there. And acting on this new information that sounds a little fishy anyway, from a man who just admitted stealing a car, they said that this was sufficient justification for deploying a SWAT team to issue a no-knock warrant on Grandpa. The attorney for the family says that this tip should not have been enough probable cause for the sheriff to issue a warrant. The attorney told the TV station the Drug Task Force and Lawrence County Sheriff's response team arrived at David and Teresa Hook's home unannounced by emergency lights or sirens. He says the wife looked outside, saw people with hoods during the evening of the drug search. He says she woke her husband up thinking the burglars were back. Their home had just recently been burglarized. So he said that Grandpa armed himself. They said there was no knock to announce, unlike the initial release from the Sheriff's Services office stated. The task force and the SRT members broke down the back door of the family's home and entered, firing an excessive 16 shots. No evidence that David Hooks ever fired a weapon. None of the names of the deputies involved in the raid have been released, but the family is asking that all the deputies involved in the killing be suspended or fired and incarcerated or whatever. According to the statement from the family, the attorney, he said the grandpa was a successful businessman who owned two thriving businesses, construction company working on military bases, including Hunter Army Airfield and Fort Stewart. As such, he was vetted and underwent background checks by state and federal authorities, including Homeland Security and ATF. Based on these background checks, he was granted a security clearance, which allowed him to work on these military bases. He was not a drug user or distributor. But this war on drugs, as they call it, knows no bounds, shows no mercy. So there you have it. Okay, here's another story that's very similar to that. Thought I'd put these two together. We talked there about, I don't know how long ago it was. It seemed to me like it was, 3 or 4 months? Let's see if it says on here. It wasn't that. It wasn't that long ago. It was just a little less than a month ago. But we talked about the... Wait. That's the wrong one. We'll get to the other one in a minute. Okay, we did talk about this one, too. We talked about this just a few days after it happened. And this was the baby that was taken from the family because the father admitted to using marijuana. Remember that case? Little baby taken from her family. The man and woman, the husband and wife, had been fussing a little bit, and the man admitted to smoking marijuana, and they took the baby away. Not only did they take the baby away and put her in protective custody for a little while, they adopted her out. Just because of this little thing. So then the guy was, the dad was okay with that for a while. He wasn't okay with it, but he was seeing that the baby was making progress, everything was going fine. Well, apparently the woman that adopted this kid was actually almost a kid herself. She's 20 years old. She looks like a kid. She looks like she's 16 and been run through the ringer a time or two. But according to this affidavit, they said the woman said on the morning of September 15th that Angel, that was the baby's name, was screaming. She couldn't get her to stop. She told the police, I don't understand this, she told the police that she held the baby by the neck with both hands and shook her multiple times. She said she stopped after one of her children then came into the room and said, "Mommy, stop it." And she put Angel down to sleep. She said the baby initially became lethargic, wouldn't wake up, but later she appeared to be doing better. This was in a, police were telling this story to the news station. Later that night, she took Angel to St. Mary's Hospital where her right side became stiff and she was unresponsive. When Angel was brought to the Aurora Children's Hospital, the coroner ruled the cause of death as blunt force trauma to the head. So I think that you could safely call this state-sponsored murder. The state took the baby away. The state placed the baby with this other gal and wound up getting her killed. So that's all it was. They said that the girl's biological mother, Tierra is her name, Tierra Place, said her daughter had been removed from the home because she and her husband had fought, and the husband told Human Services that he used marijuana. And that is all the reason that it takes to get your child taken away from you and murdered by a third party. Is all you got to do is fuss a little bit, smoke a little dope, and the kid's gone and maybe killed. You never know. In one of my favorites there, and of course that's Brights at Risk, likes that one too. I gotta slip that one in every once in a while. That's a great song. If you guys can see those pictures in the chat room, let me know. If not, I keep posting them here. But oh, I see, they're coming up as links now. I don't know why. Something's wrong with my chat and go here. To Tinker, I'm going to need to get with you here for pretty quick and see what in the world it is that's wrong with my chat and go. Because it's chatting but not going. So, anyway. These pictures that some of you may or may not be seeing. Yeah, it looks like Detinker and Rice at Risk are seeing them. This is a young girl in, I believe it was, Venezuela, I think. No, Argentina. 15 years old. Hard for me to believe that people can be so brutal, especially kids. This girl was 15 years old. Julia Alvarez is her name. She's on her way home from a friend's house when these two girls come up, approached her. These two girls, age 16 and 18. Sisters, actually. They punched her, knocked her to the ground, and that's when they pulled out knives and began cutting her up. Why, you say, did they cut her up? Well, because she was too pretty. She said, one of the girls said, everyone says you are pretty. You won't look pretty when we're finished with you. People will call you Chucky. While they were slicing up her face. They slashed her across her face and body, leaving her laying in a pool of blood. And evidently they figured, or they knew, that she wasn't going to die. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, a good Samaritan found her, called the hospital, the 911, and called an ambulance. I don't know if they have 911 in Argentina, but they said that the attack was so brutal on this girl, needed 20 stitches just for one of the cuts on her back. Now, if you look at that, the stitching is pathetic. I could do better than that because Chuck trained me to do better than that. But the stitching is just awful. So if you look at the look at the stitches on there, how far apart they are, if it took 20 stitches, I'd say it probably took at least 40 regular stitches from a decent doctor. Whoever did these was not a decent doctor. These stitches are way too far apart. They're not tied very well. And look at the stitches on the cuts on her back. They have spread way wide open. Those could have easily taken twice that many stitches and pulled that together a little better. But unbelievable. But she was just entirely too pretty. We can't be having that. Hard to believe that kids can do this. The two girls were taken into custody. This girl's sister said they were jealous of my sister for a long time, always abusing her and insulting her, but we never expect them to go this far. Police here refused to get involved at first. What are police for? Surely, I mean, we understand that we don't protect and serve, but once a crime has been committed, do you think that the police would be at least somewhat cooperative in doing something? But the sister posted all these images on Facebook, and that sparked some protest and stuff at the inaction of police. Can you believe the cops didn't do anything about this? The two teenage girls were taken into custody, but the 16-year-old was released because she was underage. There's no word as to whether or not either of them are going to be charged. Underage, I don't care if she was 7. To consciously and intentionally do something this brutal, I don't care how old you are. Now, disciplined as an adult, but you should damn sure be disciplined, like the lot. He said her sister says she's traumatized by the incident, having troubles with the way she looks. I've tried to stay strong for my beautiful sister, but every time I see her, I want to burst into tears. They've ruined her life. She says she wants to kill herself because she looks in the mirror at how ugly she is, and it's ruined our whole family. But there you go. Poor girl. I just can't believe that someone would do something like that. You're too pretty. Really? That's amazing to me. Well, this story is a little better, though. This is about a community, Davidson County, North Carolina, with school officials there. Probably didn't really intend for this to happen, to actually encourage Christians to do this. They had banned the use of the school PA system for the pre-football game prayer last week. But didn't work out the way they'd planned it. Students, players, staff, community members, hundreds of them, bowed their heads in unity and recited the Lord's Prayer together before Friday night's game at Ledford High School. According to PA system, we don't need no stinking PA system. The pastor of the Abbots Creek Missionary Baptist Church and some of the other Christian leaders around there organized this demonstration after school officials invoked the Constitution to ban prayer over the PA system. Okay. Well, we are going to, as of right now, we're going to invoke the Constitution, and we're going to have that prayer anyway. And you can pound sand. How about that? There's a lot of stories, just absolutely heartbreaking stories of usually Muslims, not always, throwing acid in women's faces. I've seen some of the pictures, and it's something out of the worst horror movie. I mean, eyeballs gone, skin melted, grafted over their eye sockets, noses to ears gone, lips gone. I mean, I don't know how in the world you would survive something like that. I keep thinking that we've gotten as savage and brutal as we can get, and that what else can we do? How much worse can it get? What can you think of can be done to people that has not been done, especially over the last year or so? There was a story here of a pastor's 5-year-old son who some members of the Religion of Peace cut him in half. Cut him in two. Didn't just cut his head off, they cut him in half. People in the cartel members down there are taking kids and not just kids, but people in general. Cutting their heads off, cutting them into several pieces, cutting their limbs off and scattering, gutting them. All manner of sexual assaults. Setting them on fire, throwing acid on them. What else can we do? I keep thinking, one of these days we're going to wake up and we're going to see the Lord standing at the door and say, it's time. I've been expecting you. I hope we're ready when that happens. Because I can't say about how long it's going to be, because I keep thinking that there's going to be I guess I better not dwell on it too much here. You start pondering on the way things ought to be if you were running the show. and and the Tinker, you know. Well, that's the one thing that I would not do, that I would not push it that far. If we will lower ourselves to their level, I know it's human nature, and it's what we want to do, is to respond in kind to how these people have done things, you know, whether it's the beheadings and all that. And if we were to behead a bunch of them and send them back or whatever, does that make us any better than them? But I know it's what we want to do. But ProSize, I'm glad you made it in here for a little while tonight. Take care. Hopefully we'll see you again soon, maybe tomorrow. But as much as it seems normal and natural that that's what we should do, then but we can't allow ourselves to risk, however right at the time it may seem like in our minds, we can't allow ourselves to risk our own salvation to do something like that. And I didn't wonder at all why the woman killed herself. I know exactly why she did. I just wonder whether it was going to be, whether anybody thought, you know, as heinous and horrific as these things are, we have to wonder, did the Lord say, yes, I don't want you to do this unless, or except, if something, but maybe if, or was it just, don't do this? So, I don't know. But I do believe, and many, I'm okay with that. They won't stop as long as they're allowed to do this. And for your president to say that there's not going to be any boots on the ground, we need to go in there and we need to kill them face to face. We need to hunt them down and shoot them in the lips, just as soon as we can find them. They have gone past the point. As long as we truly and sincerely believe that they are of that religion, that sect, that whatever, then they you know, it's no quarter should be shown. We shouldn't. I think that there is no. I think that capturing a bunch of them, taking them prisoner, and all that is. I just don't believe that that's where it's at with this particular enemy. You know, that worked fine to keep them out of the fight in Germany and in Japan and you know, even the Civil War and back in there. You know, that was part of the deal back then. But I just can't see that is part of the overall plan here right now, or it shouldn't be anyway. And to Tinker, yes, there is a Bible passage that says this, and it says if you don't have a sword, that you should sell your garment and get one, or your cloak, depending on which version of the Bible that you read. But yes, it says that. And you know, it may be time today. It's been a long time. It's been probably 3 years since I've got a show that I've done a couple of times over the years about Christians and guns. And I'm thinking that this may not be a bad thing to drag out of the archives and dust off and do again here. It's been quite a while. We've lost a lot of trade. We've got a lot of new listeners since then. Some of the old ones are gone. But some of you may have been around long enough to have actually heard that. It's been, I think probably it was 2010 or 2011 last time I did that. And I think I need to tune it up a little bit and get it dusted off and get that out there again. I think it's time. A lot of things to consider. No, I don't condemn. It's not my job to condemn anybody. Many, I still think that. See, if she was Kurdish and did this suicide bombing, she's quite a strong possibility that she wasn't even of the same, remotely the same faith or whatever as we are. So I can't condemn her for things that she don't know. It's do I think it's the right thing to do? No, I don't. But she probably did, and that's why she did it. So if those that have not been taught and educated in the ways of Christianity and they do these things, that's not for us to condemn them or judge them. It's just, you know, it's part of the plan. They will get their opportunity to hear the gospel and accept it or not at some point after they leave this world. So we'll just let the them, you know, that's a whole different story right there. That's a whole different thing. Many of the soldier, what's the scripture that says no greater love the man hath for his fellow man than to give his life for his fellow man, whatever it is. I'm not sure worded exactly how it is. A soldier that throws his body on a grenade to save his team members, I think he has a very special spot in heaven there. But to do it as to someone that is the soldier that went out in the open to do the radio, that's very much like covering the grenade. He did not, knowing you're going to die, knowing you're going to be killed, is not the same as killing yourself. Intentionally going into someone to say, I just can't take it anymore, I'm just going to stand up and let him shoot me, then that would be wrong in my eyes. To go in there and use that radio and try to help your team members, assuming that there's a good chance that you may be killed, but you may be taken prisoner, or they may miss and you might get away. But either way, he was helping. That is exactly the same thing right there as throwing yourself on a grenade, which is not exactly the same thing as strapping a bomb to yourself and killing yourself to kill a bunch of your enemy. But the Kurdish woman thought that she was doing the right thing, and that is between her and God, not for me to judge. Like I said, Minnie, it's not for me to judge. I don't think it's okay, but she is not the same faith, wasn't taught the same way. I think that a lot of people in this country probably would have done the same thing. But there's a lot of them that probably wouldn't, too. It's not for me to decide, or you. It's just one of those things that will have to be worked out at some point at a later date.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's running like a... Seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's a-running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead, but all right, I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got me 10 forward gears on a Georgia overdrive.
taking little white pills and my eyes open wide. I just passed a Jimmy and a wine. I've been a passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. And it seems like a month since I kissed my baby goodbye. I could have a lot of women, but I'm not a like of some of the guys. I could find one to hold me tight, but I could never make my living all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. ICC is a chicken on down the line. Well, I'm a little overweight and my logbook's away behind. But nothing bothers me tonight. I can dodge all the scales all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. Well, my rig's a little old, but that don't mean she's slow. There's a flame from her stack and that smoke's a blowing black as coal. My hometown's a coming in sight. If you think I'm happy, you're right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
See if we can fit in another jackbooted thug story here. Seems to be plenty of those around. This SWAT team come in all hollering orders, guns drawn, ordering the kids around and everything. And when the kids didn't act fast enough to suit them, they'd get smacked with the butt of a rifle. They didn't have any reason to, but they hit this one kid, 13 years old, just 13 years old. Said in all the chaos of the raid, the 13-year-old was injured, and he ran into the officer's weapon, is what the cops say. Oh, and by the way, the warrant that the SWAT presented for this raid was for a house two blocks away. Oh, I'm sorry, it's the wrong house. I didn't mean to beat your 12 and 13-year-old kid senseless with that, but it's one of those things. He just run in and run into my weapon while we were coming into the wrong house. They broke every single flat-screen TV. They broke the PlayStation 4. They broke every single picture frame for whatever reason. Every single thing that they could break, they broke. According to the lady here, the officers went to the wrong house because of the address on the warrant says 3744 Williams Avenue, and the home that was raided was 3844 Thomas Avenue, and that is being disputed by the Miami police. This was the right house, said one of the cops. Not only was the right house, but a gun was seized and illegal narcotics taken from the location. The narcotics that the police found turned out to be a small amount of marijuana, which is not a narcotic. Also, the last time we checked, guns are not illegal in Florida. It's not really contraband if it's something that you're able to have. So, just one more example of the many out there. You know, I have to wonder, Williams Avenue, Thomas Avenue, I wonder if these guys, the 3844, 3744, but Williams Avenue, Thomas, I wonder if these guys have to read their driver's license to figure out, you know, how to get home, or what their name is. I'm not sure how it works. I can tell you, though, that I think that their land navigational skills are probably not... I think they probably didn't graduate at the top of their class. If they can, they've got street signs and GPSs and Google Maps on their cell phone. and all of that. So, but they can't tell the difference between Williams Avenue and Thomas Avenue. So, anyway, I guess that's one of those things. Seems to be the norm around here. Let's see. Let me go down through. Doc made it in here. Glad to see you, Doc. All right. Okay, well, let's get a couple of these announcements we did at the first of the show. Let's get these out here. I'm still looking at tomorrow's Wednesday. I'll have to see. You know, it's always kind of up in the air if I'm going to be here on time or not. It depends on what goes on with the Boy Scouts, and I'm sorry I can't be any more sure than that. But I'm not going to. I'm not going to short my scouts to make it here on time. If we get done or if there's some other activity going on or something, that's fine. But I'm not going to go in there for, cut them 20 minutes short and say, well, I got a radio show to do, so you're going to have to just do the best we can and practice this, and I'll see you next week for 30 minutes. So I'm not going to do that. But, what was I going to say? Oh, the things that's coming up. Let me do these in chronological order, as they say, this weekend. Got some stuff going on out at the ranch. I'll be out there. And the 18th, 19th, be in California. And up there, got two classes to run. Actually, we'll be leaving a little before that, but two classes there. The very next weekend, the 25th, I've got a class here, the Disaster Preparedness Seminar, which is also one that we're doing in California on the 19th. Glock Armors on the 18th. The 1st and 2nd of November will be the Combat Medic class that Edge of the Wood puts on. Awesome class. Been through it several times myself. 8th to the 10th, 8th, 9th, and 10th of November will be the Survivalist Renaissance in Young, Arizona. The 11th, whether it actually goes till the 11th, I just don't know if I'll stay that long or not. The 15th, we've got a show in Kingman, Arizona that we're doing. 22nd, 23rd, I think, is going to be open, and the following weekend will be Thanksgiving. So there's still some things. We're not sure what all is going on in December yet, except for the 14th to the 21st will be the 8-day-long close protection class. It's going to be a pretty dynamic, pretty physically demanding class, and not cheap either. Let's see, and I think that's all we've got for sure on the schedule between now and the end of the year. Oh, and the other thing I didn't mention is I do have the shootingbench.us up and running. It's not a very exciting website yet, but and I don't know if it ever will be either, but as far as that goes. I just wanted to have something up there. I got the blog and I got all this stuff, and there's some things that I don't really think is right to put on Schott's Ranch website, and some things it's just not, it doesn't really go on a blog, it doesn't go on Facebook and everything. So I just wanted a website, just kind of a personal thing, just for the radio show and the podcast and me. So we will have a little online store on there. It's not going to be a great big monstrous thing that you can shop at all day. You're going to go there specifically looking for colloidal silver generators or small bags of diatomaceous earth or my books, shirts, caps, bumper stickers, anything that we may come up with. Glock dry practice kits, maybe we'll have some of that kind of stuff on there. And And so it's not a, it's not going to be an earth-shattering, huge money-making deal for us. But speaking of money-making, there will be a couple of deals on there where you can, if you feel the desire, you can donate to the Shooting Bench. There's two ways that you can do that. One of them, there'll be some donate buttons through PayPal on that website, and that goes for helping with you know, the cost of the podcast and websites and all that kind of stuff. And the research and things that we do, the contributions that we got during the Bundy Ranch fiasco, tremendous help. It got us a lot of it. It actually allowed us to take the people up there, some of the people that just couldn't possibly make it. A couple of them were actually allowed to given that that opportunity to go up there because of the generosity of some of our listeners out there. And and we definitely appreciate that. And if you look there, there's another way that you can do it through this site there. You can contribute to the Shooting Bench. It's on the bottom of that information I just put on the chat room there, if you so desire. And anyway, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right. Well, I'm gonna go see how my blonde's doing. I hope you guys, we got quite a bit of gun stuff coming up here, and I'm probably gonna get started in it tomorrow night, and we're gonna let it drift on into Thursday because we got quite a bit to talk about. Got several things here. Actually, I've got you guys may not have noticed, it was one of our listeners was at the I forgot what it was now. What, a GRPC, I think, in Illinois. I believe that's what it was. And he sent me a ton of books. I've got an autographed book by Alan Gottlieb. And he sent me just a whole bunch of stuff. And there'll be information on there for various shows for a long time to come. And I am very, very grateful for that. But anyway, all right. Well, I've had all the fun I can stand. I hope you guys have gotten something out of this, and I'm going to sneak on out of here, and we'll see you tomorrow night. Amy should be with us tomorrow night. We had company when the show started tonight, and she wasn't able to get away, so I'm sorry about that. But hopefully she'll be able to join us for a little while tomorrow. Okay, that's enough. I'm out of here. Okay, let's call it a day, and thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let freedom